Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Blessings, Randy, as you minister to us.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be together in the Lord's presence. So we are now in the last Sunday of the Eastertide season, and next week is Pentecost. Paul's there will be bringing us the message. I'm grateful to Paul for being willing to do that as we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we have been in this Eastertide season from Easter Sunday through next Sunday's Pentecost, and we have been asking this question together. What does an Easter church look like? And this is the last Sunday that we will finish that theme up this Sunday. What does an Easter church look like? We have talked about things like an Easter church looks like a church that lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to obviously celebrate that again next week. We have said together that an Easter church looks like a church where possessions are shared and mutual care is practiced. We have said an Easter church looks like a church that witnesses to the power of Jesus. An Easter church looks like a church where we are called beloved from God. Last week we said an Easter church is a church where liberation and freedom is proclaimed. And if you have a hard time remembering specifically about each of those, that's okay. I understand it's a lot of stuff. I hope if nothing else, this theme has reminded you that we want to live as a church that celebrates that Jesus is alive and that we serve a living God at work right here at Whitmer Heights and in our lives, in our community and in the world. And by saying the question, what does an Easter church look like? It's a reminder to live in the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And we want to do that each day. So today, as we end this series, we say together that an Easter church looks like a church where we belong to God and we belong here to one another. We belong to God and we belong here to one another. I'd like to start with a story. Go back 10 years, 2008. I'm a waiter at Friendly's. Maybe you can imagine that, serving you Happy Ending Sundays and Honey Barbecue Chicken Super Melts. And I'm in the kitchen talking with one of our cooks. And I hadn't done any seminary yet. I just graduated from Goshen College. And we're washing dishes in the dish room. And we have great conversations back there. And somehow we got into the topic of talking about church. And he shared with me that he grew up in a church. But when he got into his late teen years, he made some bad choices. Choices that were not aligned with the church that he was a part of. And he shared with me the amount of judgment that he experienced there. And he ended up leaving. Now, at the time, I was only 23, and I hadn't, like I said, I hadn't done seminary yet, but I would realize when I had done seminary that this was a perfect example of what we would call someone who is a done with church, D-O-N-E. We have the nuns who have no affiliation. We have the Dunns, who at one point were very part of a church, and now they're just Dunn for many different reasons. He was a Dunn because of, well, it was probably many different reasons, but the one that he shared with me was that he didn't feel a sense of being able to belong there because of the choices that he had made and feeling like he couldn't go back to a church and feel safe and loved. He was a Dunn. In short, church for him had been a place where he had to have the right beliefs and the right behaviors first before he could belong. And I'm taking those phrases, belief, behavior, belong, from a book from Alan and Eleanor Kreider, who spent a lot of time in Europe, the Anabaptist Center in London. And they look at these three B's, belief, behavior, and belonging, and they basically say many times the church is set up as a place where you have to have your beliefs and behaviors in line first, and then you can belong. And actually what the Kreiders are saying is, I think we need to turn that equation around, where first and foremost, people have to feel like they can belong. And then trust the work of the Holy Spirit, that beliefs and behaviors will be transformed into the likeness of Christ. But belonging has to happen first. And unfortunately for this friend, as we were in the kitchen of Friendly's, he was telling me that he did not experience that. He had the wrong behaviors and he was judged severely. And he left the church. So where did my Friendly's friend find community? Well, I think he found it at work. Interestingly enough, a lot of his co-workers, in a sense, became his sense of belonging, his community. And I think he demonstrates a theme that even though he didn't find the belonging at the church, he needed belonging. He needed a community. And I've been thinking about this theme of belonging, and we have that in this text this morning in Psalms. But before we get to the text, I just want to think a little bit more about it, what it means to belong. What does it mean to belong somewhere? I think of a lot of the television shows out there. Cheers. Anybody watch Cheers? A Place to Belong. Friends. Why do we love Friends? The show Friends. You see these six people that just have friendship and they have this community and they belong. Seinfeld. Many other shows. It's about friends just hanging out together and having community. 2 weeks ago, I was with a coworker from LGH and he took us to a place called the Elks in Lancaster. Have any of you ever been to the Elks in Lancaster? A fascinating experience. It's a members-only club that you have to pay a small fee to belong to the Elks, and then they use that money for a lot of nonprofits and want to support nonprofits in the community. So they're looking outward and doing great things with the money that they bring in. But I went into the Elks, and it's just these people that all know each other. And they literally all know each other's names, and they're just hanging out. And I asked my coworkers, like, how did you become a part of this thing it's like, well, it's basically a church without religion. But they have belonging. I'm fascinated with that concept of belonging. It's very similar in the Appalachian Trail community of through hikers. There's this very strong sense of belonging and community. And so this morning, I think we ask, how, if belonging is so important and central to who we are, then how is our understanding of theology and God and our community as a church embracing belonging? I believe it's so important to need to belong. We have to know our starting points. If we're going to say we want to belong within the Christian context of Christian community, then we have to know our starting points, which is our scripture. It's salvation history, this book that we call the Bible. And this Bible gives us some starting points for what it means to belong. It's a story that we belong in. How do we know that? Scripture tells us. There are so many places throughout Scripture where you see this understanding of belonging, starting all the way in Genesis, as understanding that we have a Creator God and that we are the children of God. And the one this morning in Psalms, we see these themes of belonging. If we jump to verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. How do we know that we belong to God in this text? Because it says, God has created us. God has formed us. We belong to God. No one outside the community can claim any other authority, because nobody else can claim that they created this people. This psalm then describes God's people as the sheep of God's pasture. Chris, thank you for giving us the spoiler alert here. Thinking about being sheep in God's pasture. This particular metaphor draws upon a rural ideology from the ancient Near East, where shepherding would have been so common, where the king is depicted as a shepherd, and those in the kingdom are his sheep. From Egypt to Mesopotamia, kings constantly styled themselves as shepherds. So we see here this idea of a shepherd that cares for his sheep, and at the same time has this royalty, this divinity in God. I like the agricultural metaphor here, because I think about the farmers that I know, and if they have some sheep, or whatever it might be, there is this sense of caring for them, and a sense that they belong to them. And even the ones that maybe have some interesting personalities, a little bit more aggressive, the farmers that I know don't quickly give up on them, but they work with them. They belong there to them. They are their caregiver. And there is this sense of caring and belonging. How much more then does our Heavenly Father love us and call us our beloved who belongs? I want us to jump to the lectionary text really quickly as well. And we see the Old Testament sense of belonging with God in the Psalms. But I want us to move to the New Testament really quickly here in the lectionary text in John. John 17, 6 to 19. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to that as well. And this is our lectionary text for this morning. And this is Jesus praying for his disciples and praying for the world. And we see such clear language of belonging in these words from Jesus. And this is in the midst of Jesus' journey to the cross and extreme turmoil that he's facing, and he takes this time to pray for his disciples. And I'm just going to read some verses here that show this sense of belonging. 17, starting in verse 6. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Jesus says, I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Such significant words of belonging from Jesus. So if we see that this is grounded in Scripture, this is grounded in the story that we're a part of, a sense of belonging, I just want to jump now to where we're at today as a congregation and how we, in a sense, practice this sense of belonging together. We just ended community night for the year, where we've had lots of potlucks and different activities. This past time we had planting flowers together. And I hope that you realize that there's more to community night than just hanging out and having fun. But there's something significant that I believe we do in community night. And that is saying, wherever you're at on your journey, you can come and belong here. You can come to Whitmer Heights and to community night And we're going to try to have some fellowship, eat together, and something fun. And in that sense, we hope that you can feel like you can belong here. First to God as God's children, and second, that you can belong in this community as well. But there's more than just to it ending there. It doesn't just end there. We also pray together that you may experience God's power in your life, that transformation can happen. As we talked about being an Easter church, that the new thing that God is doing that you may experience in your journey while you can belong here first. Something that is so central to Anabaptism is this idea of a new creation. That God is forming us into the likeness of Christ. But I don't see how that can happen without it happening in Christian community first. And that's what makes Anabaptism so unique, is that we say this journey of transformation and new creation does not just happen individually. It happens within Christian community. That is core to Anabaptism. Community, belonging, transformation. When we first can belong, then transformation can happen, I believe. Beliefs, behavior, belonging. Belonging first. I'd like to end this sermon with a story from Hague, Germany, where an Easter Mennonite missionary team was serving there. And one of the persons on that team was Sharon Norton, and she has some of these stories on a blog. I'd be happy to get it to you if you're interested in it. Some really fascinating stories about their mission work in Hague, Germany. And she names so well how their team, so core to what their mission was helping people to feel like they could belong first. Now, you have to understand the context that Sharon Norton and her team were working in. She's working in post-Christian Germany. What do I mean by post-Christian? It's not an assumed Christian culture. The context of Germany is that they're coming out of socialism and atheism and a complete disdain of religion. Churches had been turned into museums, concert halls, and in some places into forgotten storage buildings for the city. Christian faith just was not assumed. It's hard for us to understand that in Lancaster County, where we are still, compared to other parts of the U.S. and the world, just a very assumed Christian culture. Not the case here for this EMM team. In Halle, Germany, only a small minority of the public claimed any Christian religious identity. So based on these observances, the team decided that they had to find some concrete ways to practice belonging. If they were going to start with beliefs and behavior that people had to get first, it was just going to turn more people off in an already post-Christian context. The first thing that they believed people needed was that they could belong and feel community and love, no matter where they were at on their journey, even if they were atheist. In this post-Christian Germany. They said, we already knew that people generally had no interest in joining a church or even setting foot inside a church building. So there was no point in starting typical Sunday worship services inside a building with which people had no connection. Doing the slow work of establishing relationships and authentic friendships seemed like the best way to make a start. Members of our team, this is what they did, EMM mission team. They practiced hospitality. Beautiful. In our homes, we went to the park with our children. We joined a book club. We taught English. We had many barbecues in our backyard with neighbors and new friends. And she goes on to say, eventually, as we practiced sharing our lives and practicing hospitality, some people started to become interested. They started to come. And since we were not concerned primarily with beliefs and behavior first, We chose to walk with anyone who simply showed signs of wanting to turn towards Jesus, which took time and intentionality. She says, as people grew in their commitment to walking with Jesus, we encourage them to deepen their commitment to the community of faith as well, to serve with their gifts and invite others to join them on the journey. She talks about something called Kaffee and Kuchen. I'm not saying that right. That's German. Coffee and cake on Sunday afternoons. She says it felt a lot less intimidating to people to be invited to coffee and cake than to be invited to church. She's talking in post-Christian Germany here, but I'm going to be honest. I think that this is what we need right here in Lancaster County as well. Some people will feel comfortable coming here Sunday morning to Whitmer Heights. But let me tell you what, from my friend at Friendly's, as we're talking about community and church in the kitchen, cooking, washing dishes at Friendly's, this is not a safe place for him because of his experience as a young teenager. What he needs right now, I believe, and it's been a little while since I've seen him, so I'd have to ask him, but I think he just needs Christian community, maybe not inside the four walls of this church. But he needs someone to have coffee and cake with him on a Sunday afternoon. And it might feel like, well, we just need him to come here. But what is that in us that thinks they need to be inside these walls? What I learned here from this EMM mission team is that God is at work. Trust the Holy Spirit. Build community. And don't worry about getting them into a certain building, even though that's our mindset often. First, give a sense that they belong and you love them, and pray and trust the work of the Holy Spirit. And they talk about many examples of people that started to show up for cake and coffee, and through the slow work of God, experienced Christian community and the love of God in their life. So as we end here, just want to go quickly back to the psalm. It's a psalm of thanksgiving, and there's praise. A song that proclaims, and I think the reason these people are shouting, I think the reason that these people can say in Psalms, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. I mean, they are shouting this out in this psalm. It's because they belong. They can give joyful praise to God because they are beloved and loved. No matter where they're at on their journey with God, they are beloved and they can belong because they are the people, the sheep of God's pasture. So may you receive that this morning. You belong to God and you can belong here no matter where you're at on your journey. Let us pray. Thank you, God, that you love us and that you call us your children. Thank you for this psalm and the words of Jesus that reveal so clearly that we are a part of this story where we can belong to you. And Lord, we desire to be a church here, shaped in that same way of belonging. I pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to shape us into that place where people can feel safe to belong. And Lord, we do trust the work of your Holy Spirit for transformation, that as we belong to you and to one another, that you are at work shaping us into the likeness of you, Lord. And we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.